Hello, everyone, and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And I'm going to hop into an email that Gabe,
we
you
got
just...
over the weekend, we got one, didn't we?
Yeah, and actually, I don't know how I missed this one.
Oh, we got a number of them, but this one in particular is worth talking about.
From Julia, and this is in reference to our discussion of where I dove into a Japanese study about cats and how they figured out, with about 50 cats, whether or not cats could understand that this cat next to me has a name, and I know that name. So Julia wrote to us, yes, okay, cats, har har. Yes, you're more dog men. Yes, this has related signifiers, so you're good. I'm not sure what that means, signifiers.
Culturally, it's probably okay for, what, men to like dogs more?
Okay, yeah, there's I could see that.
I guess?
Yeah, I could see that. And then she goes on to write, yes, you repeat all the cliches. One of the cliches that I called a cliche, I believe, in that episode, was the idea that cats are just there, you know, if they were larger, they would kill you, and that it's not the same kind of relationship as with a dog. And I believe I said that that would probably offend cat owners. But just to be clear, Julia, I called it a cliche because it is a cliche. And I think sometimes by calling that out, you make people aware of something that they believed as a truism and not just as a cliche.
Read the email once.
Oh, why repeat them? She means the cliches. And then she clarifies about any of the things you skim the surface of in this show, not just cats. Isn't it more interesting to say something new?
Hold on. Skim the surface. Isn't that a cliche?
Oh, touche.
To use a cliche to criticize someone for using cliches is...
Well,
isn't that ironical?
It's a certain kind of writing. Let's say that. Sure, I suppose in the context of that discussion about cats, I could have I don't know predicted that I was going to say that, but I couldn't really predict it. That happened because this show is unscripted, and I don't always know what I'm going to say before it comes out of my mouth. And so in that case, I didn't have any extra data, information, or anything to support the idea that cats aren't actually like that. It was a pretty limited study there.
And the reason why we do this show this way is, I think, Connor, to try and not be boring? Isn't that one of the points? Is that by talking about science like the way we would talk about anything else, instead of scripting everything out like your typical journalist, where he or she goes into the studio with a script, the leads have been written out, that they go to this report.
Onto a new development in the field of medicine that might revolutionize. That's a certain kind of journalism that works and has its function. It's just, it's not what we do here.
To me, I find that boring. And today we're going to talk about boring. What it means to be boring. Who is boring? What is the most boring person on earth? A study has come out from the University of Essex and I believe the University of Limerick in Ireland on just that. What are the stereotypes of boredom?
Oh,
what is the most boring person on earth? And I got it for you. It's a data analyst who sleeps a lot.
Oh wait, they created a fictional human being.
They spoke to 500 people, compiled all the data from those surveys, and have determined what is the most boring person on earth. It's a data analyst who sleeps a lot, smokes, and lives in a town.
A town? Okay. Smokes a lot?
Yeah.
That makes a person
boring? Hold on,
boring?
Let me just hear the list. So the most boring jobs are, in this order, data analyst or data analysis, accounting, tax, insurance, cleaning, and banking. Five most boring occupations right there.
But, okay, what are we talking about here? Because I would agree that if you're looking at Microsoft Excel spreadsheets all day long and only working with them, that for me personally would be boring, and that there are jobs that, if you're going to use that as a sort of, I don't know, demarcating line between a boring job and not boring job, there are jobs that are more boring than others. But my question here is, they're saying that...
The actual details of what boring is, let's shy away from that for the moment. Let's just deal with what these 500 people said.
Yeah, okay.
And the next list here are the most boring activities. Sleeping, religion. Oh, I love that. Religion's not an activity, but going to church.
What? Yeah, I mean,
praying?
They're singing there. I've said on the show, I went to church every Sunday for my whole young life. No, but it was boring. I'm sorry. The singing kind of made up for it sometimes.
Sleeping, religion, watching TV, observing animals or bird watching, and math and smoking.
Smoking. These are boring activities.
No. This is, if you ask someone what is a boring person does this.
Because that's what I was going to ask earlier with the job. Yeah. If you're talking about somebody who is who works in insurance, I wouldn't.
That person is boring. Not necessarily the act of being an insurance agent or being an insurance actuary. I don't know. It's the person. Somebody who works in the field of insurance is third most boring.
Okay,
behind accounting and data analysis.
These poor data analysts. I mean, I don't feel bad because I think data analysts do pretty well in life. Financially, I believe they're up there on that list that you see of top salary earners. So good for you. But in a way, this is which comes first, because if there are plenty of people who are energetic, vivacious, the life of the party, they're the opposite of boring. Right.
And then they get stuck in a dead, boring job.
And then they become boring. The Microsoft Excel spreadsheet sifts through, permeates their body and becomes a part of them.
You are getting to the heart of this study. And we're going to talk to, or I spoke with one of the people who did it in a second. You're going to hear that interview. But it's about not confusing what people think is boring and what is actually boring. Because by automatically stereotyping insurance agents as boring or data analysts as boring, you can accidentally think someone's boring who isn't. And that's sad.
That's unfair. And if you work in those professions, I suppose, first of all, it's good for the people in these professions to have this information. They might have been consciously or subconsciously aware of it prior to this. But that this is a prejudice that you're walking up against whenever you are in a social situation or meeting people. You have to introduce yourself. What do you do for a living?
It means that several industries need a makeover. Really?
What an advertising campaign to make them look sexier. I think they're trying to do that to recruit new talent.
Let's get to the interview. So I spoke with Eric Igu. He's from the University of Limerick. And let me just, before we get into the interview, say that I am not this big of an a**hole. Because the part of the interview that I'm going to play, I more or less called him boring. He spoke to me for 18 minutes about the study.
The researcher.
Yes.
Call the researcher himself a boring person.
I don't like being mean but I just wanted to get him to get to the point. You know what I mean?
Okay. I want to hear this.
What would you say to me if I told you that the answer that you just gave me was boring?
Right, because you probably expected this answer.
Because your answer was long-winded and it didn't get to the point, didn't smack me in the face and say like, wow, that was really interesting.
What's interesting about this research is that, of course, people define who's boring differently over time, right? So for example, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 50 years ago, and perhaps in 20, 50 years or whatever, people will define the boring person in a different way, right? Because society changes, what people do changes. This is an update on what people think about boring people. And it has consequences, because when people classify somebody as boring, they tend to avoid them. So you're making assumptions. When people have stereotypes, they make assumptions about the other person, right? So knowing that, for example, you collect stamps and you're a mailman or something like that would lead me to believe that you're a boring person and therefore I would avoid you. So in one study, for example, we also found that people are willing to pay money in order not to spend time with a boring person, right? That's how much they want to avoid other people. I do think that's interesting, no?
I think it's become worse than ever to be boring. As a matter of fact, it's like the worst thing you could possibly be.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think it has become more part of a public discourse. People want to be excited by others, and maybe that also tells us something about people's lives nowadays.
What does it tell us? What is it?
Well, that's speculation, but it's possible that that, you know, especially during the pandemic, when you think back, if I may say, for some people still ongoing, but what did people do? They sat in front of the computer the whole day, many at least, right? And so it's kind of repetitive behavior, always the same, no additional excitement. So of course, then you certainly don't want to spend some time that you would have with other people with a boring person. Yeah. Right? And it could be a trend for the time that we're living in. You're absolutely right.
And I'll give you one last chance to explain to me what a boring person is. And I implore, Eric, this time, try not to be boring.
Well, that's a challenge. Thank you for putting that on me. But I would say it's anybody who doesn't excite you, who doesn't put anything interesting into the life that you're living. And perhaps people should also think about themselves. If that's what they put on other people in order to excite them, perhaps their own life is boring.
Eric Igu, and if I'm going to send him a link to this, and when you listen to this, Eric, I'm sorry for being so mean. That was really, I'm not that kind of person. I just really wanted to get to it because I find this topic so interesting, really, truly fascinating. What is boring? Because I said before that now, today, in our modern society, it has become really, really, really important not to be boring.
He got
right?
I would say probably always, unless you were content to sit next to a human being and stare off into the distance and just not talk, then to exist next to them. But sure, if you're interacting with a person, let me put it this way. I'm glad you forced him to more accurately define what a boring person is. They don't contribute anything to your life, because I was starting to wonder myself, what does that mean? When you're sitting across from someone and they are boring to you. I mean, it's a subjective experience. And part of that means, the first thought I had was they don't have stories that would interest me. A good old rollicking anecdote about an unusual time doing something.
Experiences that they can share, that they've gone through, that they can share with you and tell you what it was like to go through that.
That would be one example of something that would cause me to think that, or not only think, to feel that that person isn't boring at all. What a great story! If it wasn't too many stories, I don't know what else. But then again, what if you're not? He's right, because you could have zero life experiences, you could have no insight into the human experience, and yet you could sit across from a person and ask them thoughtful questions. I think, and I believe the other person would still think that was a good conversation, and that person isn't boring. So that gets closer to what Eric was saying, which is that it enriches your life.
But what is it as a quality then? The quality of being something that other people want to find out more about? Or think about our job. Like we started this YouTube channel, and we're now constantly in search of numbers, views. A lot of people now want to be interesting, I think more than ever before. And that was the point that he was making, that the idea of boredom or the concept has changed over time. And it's becoming more and more and more important not to be boring. So how do you do it? That's what I asked him that question like three times. And I'm not sure I got it from him. How do you be interesting? What do you have to do? What do we have to do to be interesting or not boring?
Is it possible that that's an ever-shifting, if there were a definition, it's ever-shifting, because as soon as there was a definition, other people would start mimicking it, and then you have to always be different, slightly different, ahead of the curve.
It's like art.
Yeah.
Isn't that the idea of art, that you're constantly chasing after something new, which harkens back to what Julia said to us in that email? Like, it's harder than you think, Julia, to come into the studio every time
and be boring?
Say something new and not be boring, which is why I wanted you to read that email at the start.
But we will try, Julia, and thank you for that email. We like all emails. We read every single email that we get, even the really wacky ones, and we take them to heart and we think about them and we always try to improve wherever we can. So thank you for that. Yeah, and we will try to be less boring. Although it was.
Or how about we ask our other listeners, are we boring? Everyone who listens to this.
If they've made it this far, we're excruciatingly boring people, and they keep listening up to this point, then that would actually indicate that there's actually a problem with them.
Okay, well, let us know. Do you have a problem? By proxy, are we boring? SCUDW.com.
Science Unscripted.